All right, so we continue our limud of Bamatzia Perak Shnaim Eil Matzios, even though it says Shnaim Oksim at the top of our page. God willing, once after today, we'll move past that. And we're on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and this is our second year. Third year. We discussed the Mishnah. We discussed two parts of the Mishnah. And one of the big topics of our very first discussion was what counts as Yush, what counts as Hefker, what's the difference between the two. And what the Gemara is going to now discuss is, at what point in time can we assume that the owner was Mityayish? At what point in time will we assume that whatever the owner lost slash left behind, it was not worth coming back for? That's what we're going to get into. And so we start on the Gemara, and we'll see a couple of Tosfos over the course of this limud, and then some interesting halakha l'maisa, because as you'll notice, the very, very bottom of our page, we ended a teku, and the teku means that we don't have psak halakha in the Gemara, so now what do we do? You know, it's one thing when we have a teku when it comes to, you know, hilchos korbanos, and all right, we'll figure it out at some later point in time when we need korbanos, but this is ma'aseh b'chol yom. This is things get left behind all the time, and so we jump into the Gemara at matzah peret mufuzaret. And again, if I pronounce things into yeshivish manner or what's the alternative?
Wait, just
to Israeli manner, then let me know if it's not clear. What's up?
What happens when what does a teku actually mean?
We will get to that. We are not there yet.
All right.
We're gonna get to that at the bottom. We got to make sure that the shiur's got some spice and some flavor to it. It's not just the Shakvatar and the Gemara. We're a little bit beyond that. And so we'll do the Shakvatar and the Gemara. We'll do a little bit of the Rashi and the Tosot. But then, like, the meat and the excitement will come from dealing with this teku and what that means for us. So, matzah peret mufuzaren. We discussed what happens if you find various perot that are sprawled throughout. Then, what is it to do with them? Are they hefker? Are they nafker? Are they mijayish? Are they not mijayish? We said that it's shalal, that it belongs to you, meaning that the owner's not doesn't want it. The owner's not getting it. Vekama. So now this is the real question: how much are we talking here? How much fruit that's spread out are we dealing with? And we're going to see Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kav Bar Amo, that you have a kav measurement, then that over the area of Arba Amo, then that's going to be mufuzar, and that's going to be enough that we will assume that it belongs to you and it does not, and the owner, and it does not belong to the owner anymore, that you are allowed to take it. Okay?
Why dafka that? Like, is there a reason?
Why dafka that? Okay, so you're asking a very good question. And that's going to be more discussion, that's really a discussion in the Gemara, that the Gemara is going to ask, what's the reason behind the Kav Ba'ar Amot? Mm-hmm. Is Kav Ba'ar Amot a function of Tirka? We're about to see that it's not worth it. So a kav is too much area and too large of a space that I'm not going to go back and collect it. It's not worth collecting it. Or is the question of tircha, or maybe it's a question of like, I don't care about it. Like, there's not like enough there for it to be worthwhile. It's not monetarily worthwhile. The Tosfot is going to get into this a little bit. But let's just take a look quickly at the first Tosfot here. And the first Tosfot is, we're not going to read through the whole thing. Tosfot basically wants to tell us that I'm not dealing with a case of Peret Mufuzarin that someone dropped it. You know, Tosa wants to know, are we talking Derek Nefilo or Derek Hanacha? Gemara asked the same thing. And Tosa said, we're not talking about Nefilo or Hanacha. It's not that somebody forgot it or put it down. According to Tosa, Rabbi Yitzchak is operating under the assumption that it's not Derek Nefilo. Let's take a look at five lines down. The last words on the Tosa are for Rabbi Yitzchak, at least in my edition. Five lines down in this Tosos of Vekama. Yes, Tosos of Vekama. Five lines down, Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Ba'il Ukma.
Rabbi Yitzchak.
Lo Ba'il Ukma. I'm just going to read a few lines here. Lo Ba'il Ukma Derek Nefila. He doesn't think that Nefila is appropriate here, that it dropped, and that's why you're not going to get it back. Afil Tuva Mishum De Savar Kebay De Yush Shalomidat Lo Hava Yush. That if it's Derek Nefila, if he dropped it, then Rabbi Yitzchak holds like Abaye, that Yerushalomidat, and this is the coming attractions for our next Gabura, that if the owner lost something but didn't know that he lost it, do we assume that he was Midyayish? If I find something the owner is not aware that he no longer has, if there was no Yush, does that mean that the item is still available for me, or I have to wait until the owner is Midyayish?
That's a concept that I've had a hard time with, because how can you know if he's Midyayish?
Oh, so we'll, that's a very, very good Shaila that we're going to get into. That is the next topic of the next, like, three daf, two and a half daf. And so, Rabbi Yitzchak is assuming, like Abaye, that Yush Lomidat does not consider Yush, and so if it's not considered Yush, then you can't take it. And so it cannot be Derek Nefila. Derek Nefila implies that the owner didn't know if it dropped. Ella Muki La Vimishkanta Debedari Shenichum Shamidat. No, we're talking about
you
he left
the shi'ul that's now at 10:50.
Now, why would someone do that? Why would someone
deliberately leave it there?
Why would that not be like hefker or something?
Well, so that's the idea, that if it's derech hinuach, that there's this amount here, and maybe in my gathering of all of my items, of my payroll, some of it fell on the floor. I took my big cartons, and there's there's a kav b'arba amot. I'm like, it's not worth it. I'm not going to pick it up. I can easily imagine that on the floor of an apple factory. Right. On the floor of an apple factory, I'm sure there are apples just sitting there.
It's like the same idea of leket.
Feels a lot like leket. I haven't seen someone make that connection, la'alacha, but that, the assumption that Tosfos is making here, I believe, is similar to leket, that you just left behind a few pieces and you're not machshir them, they're not important enough to you, or it's not worth it to your credit to collect it. Let's jump into our Gemara, where we can really see what is the root of this option. What's the motivation behind Kaba Amot belongs to the finder. So Hikidami, what's our example? E derech nefila afilu tuva nami. If it's derech nefila, then why would it be more? Like, if it's derech nefila and the guy dropped it and he doesn't know where it is, then why shouldn't you be able to get it? That was part of our initial discussion.
The e derech nuach. Afilu tuva nami,
Here, take a look at Rashi. E derech nefila im matzam derech nefila. If you found it when it fell. Sheyesh ladat she lo hun husham midat elenafu. Didn't put it there on purpose.
So even more would be.
Afilu tuva, Rashi says mikav nami. Even more than a kav should be fine. They given de ain bahen simin ayush miyash. That this random payroll. There's no way to identify these apples belong to me versus someone else. In this case, we're probably not talking about in fact. You're probably talking about in a market, and you're in the apple market, and there are apples here, apples over there, and I've got a kav of apples sitting here, and. It's not so clear who it belongs to, but no one's able to identify it. There's no simon for it. There's no way to assume that someone could find it. And so in all likelihood, they were
mitzvah. So why wouldn't you say afilu like less nami?
Well, less for sure. When we say kava arama, we're implying that it's this is the max. Yeah,
it's the most. Because if it was more, it would be chashuv.
If it was more, then we'll see what the Gemara wants to say. The Gemara is going to have that discussion. But if it's derech nefila afilu tuva and derech inuach, just to continue Rashi, atid lachzor litlan. If it's less, then maybe they'll come back and get it. Maybe it's small enough that I can't assume that the owner will not get it.
The thought process is the bigger it is, the less chance the owner will come back and get it.
We'll see. That's exactly what the Gemara said. You got a Gemara cup. Amar Rav Uka Bar Chama bimash. Apparently, we're talking about gathering on the winnowing floor. We're talking about or clearing out the threshing floor. Then when you're gathering up your things in your place where after you collect it from the farm, you're processing it before you're able to take it out and go sell it. And so we're talking about in like a processing factory. Maybe it's not your personal factory. It's like a collective public factory. But that's the example we're giving. Rashi tells us. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Dari, Beshat Asifa Granot, that everyone's bringing their stuff in. Bekan Dashin Balan Vinasu Ataiko Vinotro No Elu, meaning that everyone's processing it. And there's going to be leftovers. It's just part of the processing of food is that there's always going to be leftovers.
So wouldn't that be leket? Isn't that what leket is?
Well, leket is when you're literally picking in the field. Yeah, it's mamish in the field. But once you brought it in, now all of it belongs to you. You're chayiv on meiser and vechulei and everything. And even this stuff that you leave behind, you're still chayiv and meiser for it. And so it's going to have a different rule. So it's not exactly leket, but that concept of leket seemingly might apply here as well. And now the Gemara says, okay, fine. You told me kappa arma amot denavish tarchayu lo tarach inish below hadar ati v'shakali that a kav within arba amot is too much tircha, and so it's not possible for it's not realistic for a person to put in that much effort in order to get to gather it. They're not going to come back. Lo hadar ati v'shakalu afkur mefakalu. And so he's going to make his those perot hefker. Now at the beginning of the next line, but batzer mihachi tarach v'hadar ati v'shakalu v'lo mefakalu. But less than that, if it's less than a kav within arba amot, or maybe a full kav but in less than arba amot, that's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Then maybe it's it's going to be worthwhile for him, and he will come back. We don't assume that he's going to be mafkir. Mm-hmm. So now the Gemara says, okay, fine. Great. Bar Yirmiya. Bar Rabbi Yirmiya. Chatzi kav b'shtei amot mahu. What happens if you have half a kav, if a full kav and half the space? Then what's the din? Well, hold on, let's see. Kav ba'avra amot tamamai. What's the reason why kav ba'avra amot belongs to the owner, to the finder? Mishum de navish tarkayu. And because it's too much effort. So chatzi kav b'shtei amot. So now if you have half of that amount in two amot, in half a space, given dolo navish tarkayu loma fakarlu. Maybe it's not too much tirka because it's less. It's less items to gather, so it's not going to be hefker. Odilma mishum de loka shivi. No. It's not important enough. It's not valuable enough. V'chati kav v'shtayamo kevan de loka shivi mefakalu. Half a kav is just not worth coming back for. I would only ever come back for a full kav. Okay, fine, great. Let's, instead of talking half, let's talk double. What about double a kav? Kabayim ebishmona amot ma'u. Now you have, instead of four amot, you have an eight amot.
But in kabayim bishmona amot, you would for sure have at least a minimum.
Yeah, you are correct. And so, let's see. Kav amramot tamimai. What's the reason behind kav amramot? Mishum din navish tarchayu. That's too much tircha. The kol shekin kabay mishwan amot kevan din nifish tarchayu tvei mefakar lehu. Maybe you say, okay, yeah, but now I'm dealing with a space of eight amot instead of just four amot, and it's way too much tircha to gather everything up. You're right that it's four and it's one and four, but one and four we said belong to the finder, not to the owner. That we assume use, and so now we have the same situation.
I don't like that logic because it's saying, well, like how many? It's like it's saying for this I'm willing to, but to do that twice I'm not going to.
Remember, kav ba'arba amot is shalo, is belongs to the finder, not the owner. We assume the owner was mafkir it
because it's
too much effort to get it. So now what happens, you have eight, meaning that now there's more value, but it's a larger space.
If you're going the other way, because Mishum Dilo Chashivi is...
Let me give you an example. It's not a perfect example, but let me give you an example. If you drop a dollar on the floor, and you don't know where it is, you're probably not going to go back and get it just because it's not valuable enough. If you drop $10 bills on the floor, even if it might be a larger space, you might go back for it because $10 is a lot more valuable than $1.
Okay.
$10 can get you half a mountain dew in Camp Moshe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Odilma mishum de lo chashivi the kabayim b'shmon amo kevan de chashivi lumefakalu. Maybe $10, maybe eight kabayim b'shmon amo is chashiv enough that I'm going to go back. I'm going to try and get in there. Now let's take a look at this Tosfot. We're going to read this entire Tosfot inside the bottom Tosfot chatzi kabishte amo mahu. Tosfot asks Tema. Tema's always doing a question of this doesn't make any sense. It's a massive kasha in the Gemara. Hello, kav arba amot have nami chatzi kav b'shtei amot umay kav b'yalei. Okay, I'm interested in the question. If you had one to four, then is that a ratio? Is that what we're talking about here? Now we're at chatzi kav b'shtei amot. Seemingly, if we have a ratio of one to four, then that half to two, which is the same ratio, it should be totally fine. So Tosu is going to respond saying the yishlomar kevan de leka ela chatzi kav. Akav yilkod kevin she'englo tereach ligmor aval kav ba'arba amot yeshu tereach lilkod hakol ve'ein malake klal. That the first answer in Tosfos is going to be that it's too much of a tircha. It's not worth it to go back and go through such a tircha for that space, whether it's for kav ba'arba amot or for a chatzi kav ve'shtei amot.
What does it say exactly?
He's not going to gather it because it's too much of a tircha.
That's exactly what
we said. Right. The second Tosfos, is a little bit more interesting. The second Tosfos in answer is inami. Alternatively, kav ba'arba amot mirubon have. When we say kav ba'arba amot, what do we mean? We mean 4x4, a 4x4 amot space.
Yeah.
Great.
Or 2x2, to mean 4 square amot.
Huh?
It's not 2x2 for 4 square amot.
What do you mean? If you have one kav in 4 amot, we're assuming it's four square amot.
Oh.
One kav and 4 square amot. Now it's
four
okay.
4 square amot is 2 and 2. It's the same thing. 2 amot and 2 amot.
Oh. Sorry. Are we talking about 4 square amot? Yeah, you're right. I was confused with the math. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, you're good. Is it four by four, meaning the perimeter is 16, and the total area would actually also be 16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or are we talking about total floor space of 4? He says, kav ba'arba amot miruvayin implies that, we're talking a perimeter and an area of 16. Have chatzi kav b'shtei amot rochav va'arba amot orach. Now, when we say chatzi, kav be'shtei amot, we're talking about, is it, I don't know why I didn't draw this out in advance, is it four, and then we say chatzi kav, and is it you cut the whole thing in half, so now you have 4 by 2, and then, and there's a chatzi kav here, that would be half the space in half, and half of the item,
right.
Or are we now talking about 2 by 2? that's only half.
What difference
is more dads then?
And meaning that you have a greater amount of payroll in this space than in this whole space. One option is up here, and one option is down here. We had the full space of.
Four amot by four amot.
And a kav is going to be too much. It's not worth it. What happens when you have a 4 amot by 2 amot? Is that worth it? Or maybe the question of the Gemara is no. When we say chatzi kav b'shtei amot, are we talking about 2 amot by 2 amot?
Which is a quarter.
Of much, much smaller. Yeah. It's a quarter the size. If that's the case, kav b'shtei amot. B'hacha by chatzi kav b'shtei amot al shtei amot. Talking about 2 by 2, meaning a total area of 4. Now it's a much, much smaller space. And now we're saying, what if you have something that's not monetarily significant? It's only chatzi kav, but it's very easy to gather because it's a very small space. Is that going to make a difference? And what are the Gemara end up telling us? We don't know. We don't have an answer. And so that's a thought process of, great, sometimes, even if something is not in so chashuv, can it become chashuv? Is it worth going back? Is the tirka worthwhile because it is small enough? This is discussed in Shikimik Betzah as well, and the Shikimik Betzah tells us that what's really the operating motivation here? What we're really trying to? We said that a person's always going to follow the erech hayoter gadol. That what either I'm going to put in tirka because it's worth the money, or the money's not worth the tirka. But we're never going to put in more tirka just because. We want to, and so you're going to need to minimize the amount of effort necessary in order to make it happen. However, what this Tosfos is telling us is that it's not necessarily true, that Achatzi Kav B'Shtei Amot is going to be enough. Backtrack. Shitu Meikah Betz is of the opinion that if an amount of money is too small, you're not getting enough money for it, then done. You're not interested in it. You're going to be Majash, whereas Tosfos is of the opinion.
If it's less than a kav.
Yeah, done. Hefker, not interested. Whereas for the Tosfos, no. If the amount of tirka is minimal, then no big deal. Someone says, hey, can you do this for $1? Well, probably not. Like, I'd rather thing to do with my time than do something for $1. And
you could do it 100 times for $100.
Oh, maybe that is fair. That's possible.
But the whole thought process, I don't like it, because all of this is very, very relative.
The Gemara is setting standards of this is what we can assume will happen. Now, you might have someone who's very, very cheap, but...
No, but what if the person, one person could already have gone home and one person is 20 meters away talking with his friend?
Now, Conan, we're trying to figure out how do I figure this out, and
there's no way to know that.
And there's no way to know it, so right. We're trying to sort of create parameters because we need to operate with something.
Uh-huh.
We need to know what to
right.
do. The Ritzva here, similar to a Tosfot, is saying, well, when we talk about Kabayim Vishwana Amot, again, are we talking about 8 by 8, or are we talking about 4 by 8? And he wonders the same thing. And he says that it's still relevant. Regardless, it's not neither of those things are going to be a psak lemaisa, because we're going to see in just a moment how the Gemara paskins. So we are now at the last skinny line, I believe. And it's just interesting to know that the Gemara says that this Gemara is longer than it should be, and you could have just put 1, 2, 3 examples right from the top. You could have just put Shumshumi, Tamri, and Rimoni all together, and then... didn't have to do this 3 times, but we're going to do it 3 times because that's what the Gemara tells us. Kav shum shum ba'ama amot ma'u. What about when you have sesame seeds? Kav ba'ama amot tam ma'i. And mishum to lo kashivi. Shum shum kevin de kashivi lo mefakalu. But sesame seeds are more valuable. Sesame seeds, for the same amount of money that I can get onion powder in one of these sizes, sesame seeds are in the little ones. Like the McCormick spices. Odilma mishum din fish tarchayu, but not they're small, so they're hard together. The culture can shubshum and came in fish tarchayu tve mefakalu. It's not going to be worth it. You're not going
together. Oh, kavim sesame seeds is a lot of work.
Right. And so is it worth the work? Now we say, okay, great. Kav tamri, kavri moni barba amon mau. What about these two other cases of a date and a pomegranate? And when we say pomegranate, I assume we mean pomegranate seeds and not the full apple-sized pomegranates. Kav amo tamri mai mishum. And the local shivi kav tamri barba amon kavri moni barba amon nami kiv and the local shivi mefakalu. It's not worth it. Or Dilma Mishun did a fish tokayu, the cav tami barber amod, the cavermoni barber amod came into Lona fish tokayu, Lumafakalu. And no, it's not going to be so hard to gather these things up. And so, maybe you're not going to mafkir them. Mai, what's the din? Take so just look at Rashi for one moment. Rashi explained to us that shumshimin, that sesames are very, very small, but yeshtorek, the kitzer, the kibut boots on yoter michitin. It's going to be much harder to gather than payroot or wheat. Of all demay and your current, but they're expensive, they're valuable, so it's worth it. And tamarim rimonim, I was incorrect, I made the wrong assumption. Tamarim rimonim is gasim heim ve'ein toreach b'kibutzan. That sounds like rimonim, are we talking about the full-size, circular, beautiful fruit that adorns the beginning of the Shtantzalt's English Gemara?
But if you would say that, let's say something is expensive and it's easy to gather, so for sure there's no use?
Yes, that would be would seemingly be our assumption. If something is difficult to gather or inexpensive, maybe it will be mechayish.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have this whole back and forth in Gemara, and we conclude with a teku. And what does teku mean?
That there's no.
Yeah, so maybe teku means just let it stand there, let it be there, and we don't know, we don't have a good answer. The Darshanim like to say that teshu stands for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushos Ve'abayos, that Eliyahu Tishbi is going to answer all of our questions. And there's a lot of drushos to say on that. We're not going to get into all those drushos right now. But that general concept of teku is we don't have a clear answer, except we need a clear answer. This is a real halakhic shaila that's going to come up. And you'll even notice that there is a siman in the Inmish, but the Inmish B'nir Matzah sends us to Nun, which sends us to both the Rambam and the Torah Shulchan Aruch in Reish Samach Sif Zion. And so we're not going to go through every single one of the Rishonim, but if you look that Nun in the bottom, the last one on the page, there is a psak halakha here. There has to be a psak halakha here. We need to know what to do here. And so that's what Rishonim are for. That's why they make the big money. They don't just do it because they make it easier to read the Gemara. Their job is to paskin shilos. And this is a shiloh. This is a real issue that we need to understand. And so there are effectively three opinions in the Rishonim. Opinion number one, as favored by the Rambam, and then paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, is that likachila, you should not take it. Take it if you find it. If you find half a kav or kabayim in 2 or 4 or 8 amot, then you should not take it. But if you did take it, then you're not obligated to try and return it. You're not obligated to try and give it back. And so paskin is a Shulchan Aruch. That's the Rambam. You shouldn't take it, but if you do, you can.
Why would he not have to give it back?
We'll explain the Rambam in a moment. That's Shittas Rambam. The Rambam says that you shouldn't take it, but if you did take it, it's fine. The Or Zeruah is going to tell us that ideally you should not take it, and if you do take it, then take it. Then don't do anything with it. Just let it sit there. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you'd envision
really
doing that.
Really obvious question that I didn't know. I didn't think about it till now. If for him it's not worth it to collect it, why is it worth it for you?
Okay, you found it. Maybe free things are way more exciting. It's also worth appreciating that if I am a wheat farmer, I have tons of wheat. If you're not a wheat farmer, a few bushels of wheat might actually be helpful.
I think the opposite, because if you're already selling, but I'm not selling wheat, so then what does a few things in wheat help?
You're not selling it, you're eating it.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
For the Nestle factory, if they lose a box of cookies, lo mashena. If a box of cookies falls off a truck, they're not going to go nuts. But if a box of cookies falls off a truck when you're driving on the highway, oh, what a day. You're going to tell your friends about that for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Greatest thing happened to me when I was driving on Highway P? Yeah, that's what we call it here.
County Road P.
Very good. And so, again, the Rambam first says, Lechachila, you shouldn't take it, but if you do, you don't have to return it. The Or Zeruah says, Lechachila, you shouldn't take it, but if you do, then you just hold on to it and do nothing with it, because that's what the Gemara told us. And then the Rush, which made it a little bit more surprising, but also a little bit more exciting, says, no, what are you talking about? It's a Safek Derech, Sila Chumra, and so you're chayav to pick it up, and you have to return it.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is important to understand. If you're allowed to take it, great. But if you're not allowed to take it, then you're chayav l'hachriz. That the paradigm is not, oh, just leave it there. Now you have a mitzvah of Hashem HaSavida.
Right, Hashem
HaSavida.
Right.
Hashem HaSavida.
So, right.
Right, and so if, and so it's important to remember that, okay, it's not just, oh, whatever, suffix, I'm just not going to do anything. No, you might, if this is important enough to, that it needs to be returned, then you need to return it. You now have a mitzvah to return it. And Pesukim are actually very clear that you should not, that the Pesukim and any Hashem, because you're not supposed to be like, oh, pretend like I didn't see it. Your Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching, saying, I know that you saw it, no Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you really have to make sure you return this. And so we have those three sheet on the Rambam, and the Bi'ur Gra is the only work of Allah we have from the Vilna Gaon. It is extraordinary. Rabbi Khan's father, Rabbi Ari Khan, says that the Gra never misses a Mar Makom. You're never going to like have a Mar Makom and be like, oh, why didn't the Gra say it here? If it takes a little bit of learning, but he never misses anything. The Gra was perfect. The Gra knew Kol HaTorah Kula as well, not as well, better than we know Rashi. The example that he gives and that I've heard many times is Potech Ad Yadecha, and he says the pasuk. Great. But now do it backwards. Good. Doesn't matter. You don't need to be able to do it backwards. The point is that you have to think about it for a second. The Gra knew it backwards, forwards, nonstop. So someone went to the Vilna Gaon and said, making a siyum on Masechta, whatever. And the Gra's like, great. How many times do Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, who are amongst the biggest, two biggest bar pluktos in Mishnayot, how many times do they argue? And the guy's like, how do you make a siyum if you don't know that? Okay, so if you're the Vilna Gaon, then we still make siyumim. Gemara says that Rava. I think Rava, though it might have been Rav Papa, used to make siyumim for his talmidim because talmidim like weren't like confident enough to do it on their own. So the Vilna Gaon looks at this and says, okay, what's going on in this halakha? The Vilna Gaon, again, this is the Vilna Gaon, not actually in Reish Samach, but also in Reish Samach Beis, Os Chav Beis, Gideon was looking at it before, and he explains that why does the Rambam say that lechakil you shouldn't take it, but if you do take it, you keep it? He says, because this is Rambam Lashitasa. The Rambam has an opinion when it comes to Bechor. Now, a Bechor, what's a Bechor? It is a firstborn animal, but what if you have a suffix Bechor? You're not sure if if this is really Bechor or not. Now, that Bechor, on a monetary level, is a suffix Mamon Kohanim and suffix Mamon Yisrael. Who owns it? If Yedidya has a suffix Bechor, do I as a Kohen get to take it, or does Yedidya get to keep it?
If it's a suffix, then I guess it's Bechor.
So the Rambam says that, well, you're getting to rush now, calm down.
No, but if that's a cloud for everyone, not like
you're right, subject to right to Lachuma, but this is right, it's the most Chavar Lover Raya, but regardless, Rambam is of the opinion that if we have the suffix and the Kohen takes it without asking, then we assume it's Mamon Kohanim, and he doesn't have to give it back. Meaning that we didn't pass, we didn't say, oh, Suffolk direct to Lachumar, we just said the Kohen took it when it was Suffolk, and now the Kohen gets to keep it. That's the opinion of the Rambam. And so the Gra assumes that the Rambam is Lashitato, that just like when it came to Bechor, if the Kohen takes it without asking, when he maybe even shouldn't have taken it, but he did, now it's Mamon Kohanim, and he gets to keep it. So too, if you saw items on the floor, and you weren't really supposed to take it, like you shouldn't have taken it, but you did take it, now you keep it, now it's yours. That's the way the Gra explained the Rambam. He also explained, we're left on to wonder, okay, what's going on with the Rush? So the Gra doesn't explain this, but the Birka Shmuel explains it, that he says, what is the suffix for, suffix deraita we're talking about? Is the suffix deraita whether you have this mitzvah or not? He says, no. Suffix deraita is, do you have to take it? Do I have a Torah obligation to take this item? When I say take, I mean take and return. And so the Birka Shmuel explains that the Rush thinks that because you have a suffix whether or not you need to return this, you should take it and return it. That's your suffix. Not a suffix whether it belongs to you or doesn't belong to you. It's a suffix of whether this is an Aveda that needs to be returned. And suffix to Rajul Kuma, like you just said, you should take it, pick it up, and now you have an obligation to return it.
Wait, so the suffix is, if it's something that you have to return?
Yes, that's
according to... If we know what category it goes into, then we know exactly what to do.
Yeah. So that's our Gemara. What we didn't really discuss is, does the owner know about it? Does the owner not know about it? That is coming up next week. And so next week, we need to just start reading through the Gemara. There's just a lot of Gemara Shitosvot here that's worth looking at. And so we're going to start the Gemara. It's just worth noting this... part, about 15 lines down. Simin, Pem, Pe, Mem, Gimel, Shin, Mem, Mem, Kuf, Gimel, Tet, Yud, Chaf, Chaf, Samach, Ayin, Zayin. So how many letters are here?
Yeah.
15 letters, close to it. This is a simin for all the different cases that come up in the context of Yishalom Midat, that all these different cases are relevant. And almost all of them are one letter, not two letters. It's not in order of the Gemara. I checked. But there's a lot of different cases where Yishalom Midat is going to come up. And so we're going to jump in. But to start, we're just going to do the first like 20 lines or so of this Saturday daf, and go from there just to get kind of a framework before we jump into the specifics.
Clever,
Yashikah.
Where's the pin?
Yeah.